We are going to be talking about music tonight as we begin, and so I appreciate our musicians and their study of music, and I hope that you will enjoy this. I know you will, and I think I'm going to get through about, let's see, what would that be? Let me do a quick math problem here. I'm going to get through about 1/14th of the message tonight. And so we'll see how many months this goes. I'm not exactly sure. When you have 149 pages of material, that's a lot. Okay? I've heard people say, how many of you have heard people say, well, what God expects about music is not found in the Bible. You know, it doesn't say, you know, don't listen to this and don't listen to that and listen to this and listen to that. You know, that it doesn't, the Bible doesn't say that. Anybody heard people talk like that? And, well, as far as, you know, specifically where God says, you know, don't listen to, you know, modern country music or modern pop rock music, or okay, yeah, that's not in the Bible. It doesn't say don't listen to the Beatles. It doesn't say don't listen to AC/DC. It doesn't say don't listen to, you know, it doesn't say that. All right. It also doesn't say a lot of other things too. But the principles are all throughout Scripture. Let me let you turn somewhere, and then I'll say a few more words, and we can stand. First Chronicles. Chapter 15. Now, just a few words as you turn there. A few words. The actual word music. By the way, I like the spelling of the word music in our King James Bible better than the modern day one with a K. M-U-S-I-C-K. That's a pretty cool spelling. But the word music is used 16 times in our Bibles. The word sing or singing is used 148 times in the Bible. And the word song or songs is listed 98 times in our Bible. So don't tell me there isn't. And by the way, that's just those words. There are other words that refer to music and singing and songs and things that are not those words that are also found in the Bible. And so it's much more than just that and those words. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, First Chronicles chapter 15. So that's Old Testament, okay, 1 Chronicles 15, and we'll begin in verse 12. I'll read down through verse 29, and I'm going to try, okay? I'm going to try really hard because there's a lot of names, and names befuddle me sometimes, and that's a good word, by the way, befuddled there. So, but you follow along, I'll read out loud. It says, beginning in verse 12, and said unto them, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. For because ye did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order. Now, you got to pay attention to context, right? And this is important. David is talking about what happened the first time. They tried to move the ark with the cart and the oxen, and a guy died. Okay? Big deal, because that was not how they were supposed to transport the ark. Okay? So our God is a God of order, and they said, we're not making this mistake again. I'm going to bring that up a little bit later. Okay. So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. And the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereon, as Moses commanded according to the word of God. And David spake to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers with instruments of music, psalteries, and harps and cymbals, sounding by lifting up the voice with joy. So the Levites appointed Heman, the son of Joel, and of his brethren, Asaph, the son of Berechiah, And of the sons of Merari, their brethren, Ethan, the son of Cushiah, and with them their brethren of the second degree, Zechariah, Ben, and Jaziel, and Sheremoth, and Jehiel, and Uni, and Eliab, and Benaiah, and Maaseiah, and Mattaniah, and Eliphilah, and Micnea, and Obed-Edom, and Jeiel, the porters. So the singers, Heman, and Asaph, and Ethan, those are easy, were appointed to the sound of cymbals and brass, and Zechariah, Aziel, and Shereiamoth, and Jehiel, and Uni, and Eleb, and Maaseiah, and Benaiah, with the psalteries on Alamoth, and Mattaniah, and Eliphilah, and Micnea, and Obed-Edom, and Jeiel, and Azariah, with harps on the Sheminith to excel. And Chenaiah, the chief of the Levites, was for song. He instructed about the song because he was skillful. Now pay attention to that. That's important later as we talk about these things. And Berechiah and Elkanah were the doorkeepers for the ark. And Shebaniah and Jehoshaphat and Nethaneel and Amasai and Zechariah and Benaiah and Eliezer were the priests, did blow with the trumpets. Amen. I was waiting for that. Before the ark of God, and Obed-Edom and Jehiah were the doorkeepers for the ark. So David and the elders of Israel and the captains over thousands went to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the house of Obed-Edom with joy. And it came to pass when God helped the Levites that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and that they offered seven bullocks and seven rams. And David was clothed with a robe of fine linen, and all the Levites that bear the ark and the singers, and Chenaiah and the master of the song with the singers. David also had upon him an ephod of linen. Thus all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of cornet and with trumpets and with cymbals and making a noise with psalteries and harps. And it came to pass that as the ark of the covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looking out a window, saw King David dancing and playing, and she despised him in her heart. I do want to say that I do have a degree in music education. So that's worth something. I know a little bit about music. In 1989, when I was in fifth grade, I was selected as one of 100 kids in North Dakota to sing in the Centennial Children's Choir. We got to travel that summer all around the state of North Dakota singing. I studied voice. I do know how to sing. I do understand music theory. I do know the names of the notes. I know the definitions of a lot of the musical terms. I just want you to know that I know about music, okay? I have studied it. Now, how many, just by a show of hands, you've studied music along those lines as well, or similarly speaking? All right, a handful of you, all right? Maybe 15 or 20% perhaps of the congregation. And listen, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Can I tell you something? That music is very important to the Christian life. It's very important. And unfortunately, probably a lot like the Bible, many, if not most Christians, are ignorant of these things. They just don't know. They've never been taught. Nobody's ever told them. Or they know a little, but not much. And you know what? We need to change that. How many of you want to grow in your knowledge of the Bible? I mean, yeah, a baby Christian is supposed to desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby, right? And we're supposed to learn more about God and more about God and more about God. Well, can I tell you something? That church music is not different. It's not different. What's part of our services that we have? It's what? Music. Okay? It's part of the program. And by the way, where do we come up with that? From the Bible. From the Bible. And you notice here, was it important that they followed the order of carrying the ark to Jerusalem and to that place where they took it, right? Absolutely. But was it also important that they followed the order of the music? Yes. Did you notice there were specific people in specific positions to do specific things, and even the word skillful was incorporated in that? Can I tell you something? That means they studied. That means they practiced. That means they knew the notes and they knew the methods and the construction of them. Can I tell you something? Construction of the music matters. It all matters. And so as we go along, we are going to get into some of that. My goal is not to give you a college class on music, okay? But my goal is to educate the believers so we know what music is all about according to God. Because guess what? The world's going to show you what music's all about according to the world. It's in everything, folks. Music is a part of everything. Commercials, movies, television shows. I mean, it's all over the place. You can't go anywhere without hearing some kind of music, right? How many of you can still remember jingles from TV commercials from your childhood? Absolutely, right? The Oscar Mayer Wiener song is going through my head right now. Okay, you know, wish I were an Oscar Mayer Wiener, right? I mean, you just remember these things. I mean, it doesn't have any significance other than you like Oscar Mayer hot dogs, okay? Or maybe you don't. Excuse me. I got to cut back on my cigarettes. All right. Just kidding, okay? Just kidding. I'm not cutting back. No. All right, I got you. All right, now, music is so very important. Why? Because God is a God of music. God is a musical being. In Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17, the Bible says, "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing." Our God sings. He's a musical being. By the way, I want you to understand that the devil is a musical being. We're told in Ezekiel and in Isaiah that the devil was made with pipes and tabrets in his being. He's a musical creature. And as the anointed cherub over these things, he was in, if you will, many believe he was in charge of music, if you will, in heaven. He was that kind of a creature. Music is spiritually powerful. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14 says, "But the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, Behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee to seek out a man." By the way, how did they decide that they should do this? How did they decide that this was the solution to the problem? How did they know that? Probably because that's what God put in them, right? So this was their solution. Who is a cunning player on an harp, and it shall come to pass when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. That's amazing, isn't it? But his counselors told him this is what you need to do when this evil spirit comes upon you. By the way, they found a guy named David who did that, and what happened? It worked. God made man musical. Right away in Genesis chapter 4, it's going through the heritage of mankind, right? It talks about the different guy. This guy was born, and he was the master of this, and he was the creator of this, and he was the creator of this. Well, remember the guy named Jubal? Jubal was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. That's amazing. Right away at the beginning of the world, there's musical instruments. I mean, who'd have thought that at the beginning of things, they would have musical instruments? You would think that would be something that would come along later. But they had, no, they had farmers and they had, people that worked with sheep and goats and cows. They had musicians. Very early on. Genesis chapter 4 is about as early as you can get, almost, right? They had musicians. All of these things. Music was a full-time position. We read here in our text in 1 Chronicles 15 about these people. He called them by name. And there was even an order to them. There was the first ones he called out, and there was the secondary ones. That were the ones that were over this type of music and this type of instrument and this type of thing. There was the guy, where's his name here? Chenaniah, the chief of the Levites, was for song. He instructed about the song because he was skillful. He was a brother camp. Right? Because you're skillful. I do. You do well with that. You really do. And so you understand that it was a full-time position. First Chronicles chapter 6 says, "And these are they whom David set over the service of song in the house of the Lord. After that, the ark had rest, and they ministered before the dwelling place of the tabernacle of the congregation with singing until Solomon had built the house of the Lord in Jerusalem, and then they waited on their office according to their order." So he set up the order, and I didn't read all of this through because it would take too long. In 1 Chronicles chapter 6, it talks about the main men that David set up, and then their sons and sons. I mean, this was passed on from generation to generation after their order to be cymbal players or be psaltery players or be harp players or be singers. This was something that God structured. Music is not just some willy-nilly thing you throw into the service to make it lively. It's not. It is a part of the worship of Almighty God. Why? Because God's musical. God made man musical. We already talked about the devil, and of course there's other mentions of the angels. Remember when the angels came down? It doesn't necessarily say that they sang, but could you imagine the sound that the shepherds heard, right? When they said glory to God in the highest, peace, good work, goodwill, and all that. It was a magnificent thing. And so, I didn't want to misquote it. That's why I just cut it off there, okay? Now, there's a full-time position. There's an emphasis on skillfulness. I already mentioned that, Psalm 33, verses 1 through 3. "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with the psaltery and instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise." We're supposed to not just go up there and just blah. Okay? It should be skillful. We should, you know what? Even if you are one of the, you know, there's three different types of people. There's people that can carry a tune. There's people that cannot carry a tune in a bucket. And there's people that shouldn't even tote the bucket. Okay? That's what Brother Smith always said, that there's those three types of musicians. But can I tell you something? Everyone, you may not have the ability, but everyone can learn about music and how to vocalize music. Everyone can learn. And it's okay if you're one of those monk-type people that just go, hallelujah. I mean, that's great. I mean, that works. Okay? Just change tones every once in a while. Amen? All right. Now, music is also often coupled with service. Psalm 100 is a wonderful psalm. I've preached on it before. But it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. By the way, in our text, do you notice that word joy was used a couple of times to talk about the music? Make a joyful noise. Serve the Lord with gladness. Folks, there should be gladness in singing. He says serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. So the Bible says we're supposed to come before the presence of God with singing. That's a great thing. He says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Did you notice there that we're supposed to serve the Lord with gladness? When we serve the Lord and we come in his presence with singing, we're serving the Lord. You know, it's a duty of man to praise and worship God. He is the one that's worthy to receive glory, honor, and praise. So it's our duty to serve him with singing, with music. Okay? You know what? Music helps spread the gospel. You know that? The Bible tells us in Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3, David said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. That's exactly right. For singing. Singing provides comfort. You know, how many of you believe that during the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper, right? As the men were gathered around and Jesus washes their feet and he lays out some pretty heavy things on them. Like, you know, this is my blood. This is my body. They're going to kill me. That's pretty heavy, right? How did they end that meeting? They sung a hymn, right? They sung a hymn. The Bible says, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Hey, music improves your relationship with God and others. Ephesians 5, chapter 5, verses 18 and 21. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Semicolon. When we're filled with the Spirit, what's going to happen? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That sounds like a good situation, doesn't it? Why? Because that brings us to singing and psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It's part of the joyful and happy Christian life. And by the way, that means we're right with God and we're right with mankind, right? Otherwise, we're not going to sing. Why do you think that preachers and people think that if you're not singing, there's something wrong with you? Right? When I walk down a hallway, when I used to walk down the hallways at Trinity, the secretaries used to get mad at me when I first got there because I would always whistle. You know? There was only one problem with that. It wasn't my whistling that was a problem. That's what Brother Lassiter used to do. And so they thought it was him coming down the hallway. They were sorely disappointed when they saw me. Right? Because they didn't want to talk to me. I was just the lowly, you know, school principal. They didn't want me. A good song puts a little pep in your step, puts a little joy in your spirit, right? And it's just, you know, it's just something that comes out of you. And, you know, this is something that the Spirit of God, when we're full of the Spirit of God, music just comes out of us. Why? Because we're musical creatures. Because we serve a musical God. Music helps us to learn. Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in words and definitions and textbooks." Is that what it says? No. We teach and admonish in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's amazing. And then he goes on to say, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Now, how many of you have actually made up a little tune or a little song to remember something for a test? Oh, yeah. Every time I want to spell the word obedience, I sing. O-B-E-D-I-E-N-C-E. That's a song I learned when I was a kid. And I know how to spell the word obedience. Hallelujah. I can spell one word in the English language. And it's because of music. I love it. Now, there will be music in heaven. By the way, is there music on this earth? There is. In Revelation, we talked a little bit about this before, those 24 elders, right? And the four beasts. They all had harps. Remember that? We talked about that this morning. And they had harps, and they had golden vials full of the odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song. And then I love this, saying. It uses the word saying, but it says they sung a new song. Saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Okay, so I hope you understand that things that God has created, I mean, it's amazing what God has done and helped us understand about music and the creation of music. Music is a part of our everyday life. And so here's the question that we need to make sure we dwell upon is, what kind of music do we have in our life? Because it matters. It matters. By the way, if you will, we believe in Bible doctrine. Now, I want to try to help. I don't want to hurt. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. But I want you to understand something. We as independent Baptists, we stand on the Word of God. And we will put up a stink and a fuss and a fight if anybody tries to change this thing. Are you seeing where I'm going with this? But yet when it comes to music, oh, that's a new sound. I like that. But if somebody tried to put a new verse in this book, we crucify them. Come on now, stay with me. Don't get mad at me. Music's important. Why are we changing it? Why are we letting it conform to this world? There is no way that godly music should ever sound like worldly music. Ever. But yet we just let it in our churches because we like it. Shouldn't be like that. And can I admit to you something? When I decided, I talked with Brother and Mrs. Camp, when I decided for our church to use just hymns as far as our music goes at church this year, it wasn't because I don't think that there isn't any good music being written today. It's just because we've got to hold the standard high. And we've got to guard against all the things that are trying to creep in. And I realized that I was affected. And there are songs that I have sung On a church platform, if you will, that now I have decided I'm not going to sing them anymore. Because of their construction and because of their association, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There's lots of things. I wish we had recordings of what God's people sounded like in this passage of Scripture. I wish we did. But you know what? We've got to go back to principles in the Bible to find out as close as we can what the right kind of music is. And we've got to cast aside all the things that this world is telling us makes good music. Because can I tell you something? I like a lot of bad music. I'm just to be honest with you. I do. But you know what? I don't listen to it because I can't. I won't. Because it's not right. Now, what is music? So I think fairly we've established that God is a God of music, and that music is something, a source that we can find in the Word of God about music. Is everybody okay with that? Okay, good. Now, if we can find it, then we should do what? As 2 Timothy tells us. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman, a skillful artificer in the area of music. So what is it? Well, music is the art of combining vocal or instrumental sounds, one or both, to produce a beauty of form, harmony, and expression of emotion. Music is a connection between one person's soul and another's soul. The word music comes from the Latin root musica, and is ultimately derived from musa, the Greek word for muse. Muse means to ponder, reflect, and meditate. Now, I'm going to read to you these definitions of the word music. There are five of them, and it's going to sound just like I read there, but also it's going to give you some ideas and illustrations. Melody or harmony, any succession of sounds so modulated as to please the ear. Okay? So we could just speak, but music has a movement to it that's pleasing to the ear. All right? If I just said, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." That's moving to some degree.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Right? There's a little difference between the two. And that's what music offers. By the way, we're musical beings, right? So we're built to do that. We have these things called vocal cords. And they vibrate at different frequencies. That's scientific, okay? That's pretty cool. I mean, aren't you glad that evolution did that for us? Yeah, right. Okay. Amen. All right. Please the ear. Or in a combination of simultaneous sounds in accordance to harmony, music is vocal or instrumental. Vocal music is the melody of a single voice or the harmony of two or more voices in concert. Instrumental music is that produced by one or more instruments. Any entertainment consisting in melody or harmony, Webster says, the science of harmonical sounds, which treat the principles of harmony, properties, dependencies, and relations of sound to each other, this may be called speculative or theoretical music. The art of combining sounds in a manner to please the ear, this is practical music or composition. Order, harmony, and revolutions, as in the music of the spheres. Okay, so that's kind of that's what music is. All right? So, Can we say that music is a special thing? It's a unique device or thing, right? Now let me ask you a question. What is your ear tuned to? Let me ask you a question. Is the same things pleasing to your ear that are pleasing to my ears? Probably not. Right? What makes the difference? What our ears are tuned to. Okay? Now, can we train our ears? Can we tune our ears into to things that we do like or don't like? It's kind of like food, right? I mean, some of you love pizza, like me. I love pizza. Some of you despise pizza. I don't know who you are, but we're going to pray for you to get saved. Okay? No, you may or may not. Wait, you have a taste for different things. Some of you like hot stuff. I can't take it. Brother Herschel, I'm never going to let you live it down. He tried to kill me. I don't know whatever I did to him, but he tried real hard. Habanero pepper or whatever that powder was you put on those crackers. About choked to death. Anyways, our ears are not much different than that. Some of us enjoy watching sports. Some of you hate watching sports. Despise it. You understand what I'm talking about? We all have things that we've grown to like or learned to like, etc. Music is just a device. It's something, if you will, that can be good or bad. So don't let people tell you that music is amoral. There's no morality to music. There is. There is a morality to music. Music can be good. There's good music. And music can be bad. There's bad music. And don't let people tell you otherwise, because they're going to try. Oh, it's the words. It's the words. The words are what matter. Okay. You can say that. We're going to play some examples maybe later on in this study. And I'm going to give you an idea of what it does matter about it. By the way, many of you may have experienced this in your lifetime. Would it be the same as someone who has, if you will, perhaps sung here or in the past the song Amazing Grace? Would it be the same to hear that in a beautiful tone? Think of maybe Brother Losey singing that in a beautiful baritone bass type voice. Just the echoes and the simplicity and beauty of it. Okay, right? Can you imagine that? Maybe a little better than what I just sang it for you with, okay? I always like to hear George Beverly Shea sing. Okay? How many of you heard old recordings of him singing? And he's passed away, right? Am I right about that? I think not too long ago. But anyways, just lovely, right? Just a beautiful sound. And then some of you think back to hearing Elvis Presley sing Amazing Grace. Same or different? Same song, same words. Did it make you feel different? Oh, yeah. Big time. It's a difference. So don't tell me. Nobody can convince me. Nobody can tell me that there is no morality to music. There is. Why do you think they use it so much in everything? Because it affects you. And it affects me. Why aren't they playing happy little jingles in horror movies? Right? Because they don't want you to imagine fluffy little bunnies. They want you to imagine psycho zombie killer bunnies, you know, that's with big teeth and chainsaws, you know? I mean, right? They don't play, you know, frolicking through the forest songs. What is that, everybody? Jaws, everybody knows it. That was like forever ago, right? When I was born, Jaws came out in the 70s. But everybody knows it. It's iconic, right? Right? And is it a good sound or a bad sound? It's bad because Jaws is going to come eat somebody. You know? And so please understand that these things, they matter. The word means to muse, to ponder, to reflect, to meditate. Emotion is part of the word music. It's a strong mental or instinctive feeling such as love or fear. Music was primarily created and originally designed to praise God. Now, do not miss this. When Lucifer was created, was Lucifer created to praise God and to serve God and to worship God? Yes. When iniquity was found in him, he was cast out of heaven. We have that record in Scripture. You understand? Okay? And what does the devil try to do with everything that God creates? Twist it or pervert it. Okay? Now, that includes music. If music was designed to praise God, now it's designed to praise man and to uplift man and to glorify man, not to uplift God and to glorify God. It's now been twisted. We have to realize that we are in a battle. Music is supposed to praise God. It is not supposed to lift my spirits. It is not supposed to lift me up. It is not supposed to make me feel good. It's supposed to please God and worship God. By the way, a byproduct is I'm going to feel good about worshiping God. But that's not the purpose of music. I had someone tell me one time, those old hymns, they don't move me. I don't feel like I'm worshiping God anymore. Well, then your feeler is broken. It's not the music that's broken. Your feeler is broken. You need to feel, if you need to feel something, if you need to manufacture some kind of emotion to feel like you're praising God, then something's broken. Maybe you're not in tune with the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're in sin. Maybe there's something wrong with your feelings. But can I tell you something? There is right music and wrong music. Now, angels and heavenly beings, they were created as musical creatures. Man, created as a musical creature. I remember in Judges, remember in Exodus, when the children of Israel came out, what did Moses do? Of the Red Sea. They sang a song. Right? The song of Moses. Remember when Deborah and Barak, Judges 5, they sang the song of Abinoam on that day, saying, "Praise ye the Lord for avenging of Israel when the people willingly offer themselves. Hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes. I will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel." Man's a musical being. Hey, can I tell you what? Animals sing. In a Song of Solomon, it says, the flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of the birds has come. The voice of the turtle is heard in our land. I didn't know turtles had voices. Who knew turtles had voices? How many of you have ever remembered reading that verse in the Bible? Isn't that amazing? Turtles have voices! I'm going to go catch a turtle and listen to it. See what it says. Inanimate objects even sing. Now, how many of you have ever been a science teacher? Or know about science? Know this. How many of you learned this about science? Did you know our universe sings? That's a cool thing. They actually have the recordings of it. It's really neat. Do you know stars sing? They do. It's really cool. How many of you've heard that before? You've seen it? Okay, yeah. It's not just a fake internet thing. It's real. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth. He's not talking about the people on earth or in the heavens. And if anybody's floating around. And break forth into singing, O mountains. He tells the mountains to break forth into singing. He says, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. Now, I gotta kind of wrap this up for today, but we're gonna get into this. I'm telling you, this is just building the groundwork for this, okay? And here's what I want you to realize. that when we finally realize that life is not about us, it's all about God, then we'll realize that in every area of our lives, in our worship, in our daily living, in our finances, in our careers, in our family relationships, in our friendships, in our music, all of it. People don't want you to mess with their music. I've heard that before. Well, you can preach to me all you want, just don't mess with my music, Pastor. When I'm out of church, I'm going to go put my earbuds in and I'm going to listen to my music. They take possession of it. It's mine. My music. You ever heard somebody say that before? I'm going to go listen to my music because they've chosen it for themselves to please themselves. Is that what music's all about? No. Music was created to worship God. To praise God. That's what music is for. Now, let's talk about amoral and morality of music. Amoral is defined as not concerned with or outside of the scope of morality. Morality is the degree of conformity of an idea, practice, etc. to a principle. Now, are we as Christians supposed to be moral? Yes, we are. And what practice and principle are we supposed to be conformed to? The Word of God. Right? Now, if you're conformed to the world's idea, could you say that you're moral? You could. According to what principle? To the world's principle, right? Why do you think mankind in general says, well, I'm better than so-and-so? Because what are they doing? They're comparing themselves among themselves, which we know the Bible says is not wise. What should we be compared to? The Word of God. Then why do we let our music be moral concerning the things of the world? Have you ever asked, Does my music line up with biblical principles? And I'm not just talking about the words. I'm talking about the notes. The order and structure of those notes. How those notes work together. And by the way, if that music you're listening to pleases your flesh, it's probably not in line with pleasing God. We've got to ask these hard questions, and they're hard questions. I know. But listen, as we think about what God wants from our music, we need to think about the morality or the behavior of that music. Morality is defined as being concerned with something that's either good or bad, as far as human character or behavior, or with a distinction between right or wrong. But the final authority for true morality has to be the Bible. There are a lot of churches and a lot of Christians, if you will, that have a different idea of morality than you and I. You understand that, don't you? There are some Christians that have no problem with certain things in our society. They are okay with it. And guess what? That's the level of their morality. And there are things that we would say, oh, you can't do that. Why? Because the standard is not the same. What they're basing their morality on is not the same. So we have to base our morality and the morality of our music on the Word of God. We've got to get away from this thing of taking a different standard or another standard other than the Word of God. So, as we look at this, we see that a single note of music, if you will, it does not have any kind of morality. You understand that, okay? If I go over here and I play a note on the piano, How does that make you feel? Is that one better? Right? Anything to that? No, it's just like the letter A doesn't have any kind of... But if you spell a bad word with it, right? So it's the combination of it. The culmination of it. So if I were to get... and we'll do this later on another time. But if I were to get Mrs. Combs to get up here and play something according to, if you will, proper musical design, then guess how we would feel about it? If we're in tune with God and our heart is right with God, we'll feel right about it. And guess what? If she were to come up here and play something that wasn't according to biblical design, we'd feel a different way about it. I promise you that. I need to get my saxophone fixed and maybe I'll play some things for you that I shouldn't play. Now, Genesis chapter 6. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children unto them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Now I want you to listen to this. Talk about morality and the decay of morality, or the moving of the standard of morality. And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. All of mankind. That's a big deal. So, God saw that the wickedness of man and all this, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. And it grieved him at his heart. Why? Because God's heart is holy, righteous, pure, perfect, and man's heart was evil continually. So man was living by man's heart. And God was expecting them to live by his heart. The morality had completely gone off script. Had completely gone away. And he says, and the Lord said, I will destroy man. Remember this? This is Noah. This is the ark. The rainbow. All that stuff. Okay? He said, I'm going to destroy everything. For it repenteth me that I have made them. And thank God for this next verse. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Why did Noah find grace in the eyes of the Lord? He was the only one holding fast on the morality. He was perfect in his generations. He was carrying the standard of God in a wicked day, when no one else would. And God spared him and his family through the flood. God knows our thoughts, folks. He says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God doesn't want evil for us. He wants good for us. But he knows our thoughts. He knows our minds. He knows our hearts. He knows us. And guess what? When we're further away from God, our music is going to be further away from godly music. When we're closer to God, our music is going to be closer to what God wants. Because you know what? As you get closer to God, the Holy Spirit of God is going to convict you and says, you know, maybe you shouldn't be listening to that. Just like he says, maybe you shouldn't be watching that. Maybe you shouldn't be doing that. Maybe you shouldn't be going there. Maybe you shouldn't be with so-and-so. Folks, are we growing in our spirituality or not? There are things in this world that have attached themselves to us that we need to start shedding. Why not music? This is my music. Right? That's the music I like. I am thankful for a pastor that took a stand on music and gave me some information. You know what? I got rid of a lot of bad music. Because somebody had the guts to tell me about it. So as we continue to study this, we need to understand that music does have a morality. It depends upon what is being promoted. Do you understand that music is there to promote something? Now, what's it supposed to promote? The worship of God. Remember, we read that. It's supposed to promote the worship of God. And if it doesn't promote the worship of God, or if it's not built or constructed to promote the worship of God, it's not right. If it's to promote man, if it's to promote sin, if it's to promote this world, if it's to promote anything else, it's not the right kind of music. You say, Pastor, that's going to limit my music, really, really small category. Yeah, isn't it great? That's okay. That's okay, because, you know, we can use this and apply this to lots of things, but broad is the way that leads to destruction. And narrow is the way that leads to life. It's okay to have a narrow band of music. And that's a good pun, because that's a radio thing. You know, music's played on the radio. Y'all still have radios in your cars, right? It's a narrow path, but that's all right. You know, what is it that, I didn't use it this morning, I was going to. The Bible says in the last days that people are going to heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You realize that? Everybody grasping at new thing, right? New. Everybody wants to hear something new. I know that's talking about Bible doctrine and false teachers. I know that. But why is it different concerning music? Answer, is it different? Why? Why does that not pertain to music? I think it does. We're always looking for that new sound, right? That, oh, wow. Wait a minute. It's supposed to be produced to glorify God. Not to make me feel good. Not to entertain me. Not to please me, but to please God. Now, we are to love and praise God with all of our heart. Deuteronomy, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. How can we do that if our music is not right? If our music is not made to love God with all of its being, then how can we, if we listen to it, love God with all of our being? We're going to be affected by it in some way, shape, or form. The Bible says, my heart is fixed, O God. This is Psalm 57, verses 7 through 9. David says, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory, awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. When was David going to do all this? Once his heart was fixed on God. Let me ask you a question. In our text, when David orchestrated all these things, he said, we're going to do this according to the order of God. He dressed appropriately. He made himself sanctified like the Levites, and he participated in the music. Let me ask you a question. Why was he despised by his wife then? Because her heart wasn't right with God. And we know that by the things that we read about her in the scriptures. There's not much written about her. But why did David dance and play the harp like he did during that time of rejoicing? Because his heart was full. He was being joyful to God. The music was constructed to worship God. It was all about worshiping God and bringing the Ark of the Covenant up there to the city. And this wasn't about David. This was all about God. So we've got to realize that we need music that's going to promote God, promote the worship of God, promote the principles of God, promote the values of God, and that should be our heart's desire. If we don't change that, it's going to be the desire of the heart is going to be on us, promoting our feelings, promoting our emotions, and it's going to do that to us, and it's a battlefield of the mind. It's a battlefield of the emotions. It's a battlefield of flesh versus the spirit. And we know all about that battlefield. You say, there's no way, Pastor, that music is that deep. Oh, yes, it is. It is extremely complex. Why? Because it's something that God has created. And guess what? Just as much as God wants us to have the right kind of music, the devil wants to pervert it. Folks, I'll tell you this one more time before we quit tonight. I'm going to stand up and stand for this book all the days of my life as a preacher. That this is God's word. And all the others are fakes. Well, can I tell you something? Just as much as that's true, there is godly music, and everything else is a perversion. Tell me why that principle doesn't apply to music. Nobody can. It does apply. It applies to music. It applies to our lives. It applies to everything. Because it's a biblical principle. But yet we say, no, doesn't apply to my music. Hey, can I tell you something? You live on the level of music you listen to. You do. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you touch. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear.